What a wonderful day it is, and I am so glad to be sharing this day with you all, Outliers. My name is Niyama Shang, and welcome back to the Outliers Edge podcast, where we champion the leaders who are shaping the next era of humanity by helping them leverage what makes them different to make their difference. It's really funny. I've been saying this for a while. I'm like, I'm taking two taglines and I'm bringing them together. Like, bam! You might hear me in the future just bring out one, but I love the idea of bringing things together. And today, the outlier that that we have with us is someone who reminded me of that. We have Jethro Jones with us today. Jethro, it's an absolute pleasure to be in space and to be in conversation with you. Thank you so much for making the time for this.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine. I love the opportunity to talk about things that I care about, and so this is going to be a good conversation.
Oh, most certainly. Like, would you mind, Jethro? I want to give people a chance to get to know you, and in a bit, I'll have you introduce yourself personally and professionally. But would you be open to me sharing like who you've been to me already?
Yeah, that sounds very interesting.
Okay, yeah. Let me. I like to do this. It helps ground me, but I also like need to like make sure I see you here. I know I'm going to do it, but I don't know what I'm going to say. So Jethro, like I think the element of bringing together really like shines through for me with you. We had a chance to connect, and I was telling you about my vision of where I wanted things to go, and you said something quite simply that like shook me at my core. And you said something along the lines of, "Oh, you're building community, and you believe in the power of relationships as a valuable asset along the way, and so you're creating opportunities to like." This is not my word, but you're creating vehicles to keep creating relationships and have that value go out into the world. And when you said it that way, I've been telling you about all these different ideas I had and so on and so forth. When you said it that way, I felt like you just got to the core of it all, you know? And so like what I get about you is A, your ability to see the core, you know, for as much as the noises that might be around, you're able to say, this is what actually matters. And let me make sure that I'm capturing that. One. And then two, I also see you as someone who's a tremendous giver, but also knows how to create the infrastructures to receive, right? And we'll talk more about this here, but like you build a lot, you help a lot of people, you know, and you find a way to do it in a very like way that feels genuine, but also but doesn't keep you out of the game, doesn't cut yourself off, right? And I would be honest, that's something that excites me because I'm like, oh, if givers are receiving, then like all we can just keep giving all day long and everyone's going to be taken care of. So I want to start off with that here in this conversation to remind me of who you are to me here. And thank you for giving me that experience of you already, just like the brief relationship that we've been building.
Yeah, that's awesome. I appreciate that because that helps me see what value I've already brought to you, but it also helps me. It's really hard for us to see the good things about ourselves and hard for us to know what makes us great. Derek Sivers has a great quote that some things are obvious to you and amazing to others. And that's exactly what you just described. What was amazing to you about me was what you shared, but that's just my normal everyday thing. And so it doesn't seem amazing, right?
Yeah, I have a couple words, like a couple different ways of saying it. I one of the ways I say it's like it's just a Tuesday, you know. So like someone's like, wow, you did this and you did that and you did that. It's like I guess when you put it that way, yes, I did do all that. But for me, it was just a Tuesday, you know. And then someone said something once that changed my life. She said, "Oh, Niyama, you've never been in a room without you, have you?" And that was something where I like it really hit me hard, where I was like, I've never experienced me. I don't know what rooms are like before I'm there or after I leave. And definitely, I think that was like the thing. Like I've just been thinking about our conversation since, and I left our conversation feeling like aligned, centered, and hopeful in ways that I hadn't. So I'm happy to share that back with you here. And we'll be having a conversation both about the external things that you do, but also the internal things that make that possible. So I'm glad we get a chance to start in there.
Yeah, me too. So
So
let me just introduce myself a little bit because I think that's a good introduction. First and foremost, I'm a big nerd, and for me, everything is about learning, and I think that learning is the only thing we're going to be able to take with us. And so And I really do believe that we will take it with us after we die. And so to me, learning is this really powerful thing. And one of the things I tell people all the time is that I think everybody should have a podcast, not for building an audience or sharing your voice with the world. Those are important too, but really as your own personal way to document your own learning and to give you a way to go find the people that you want to be able to learn from. So, you know, as far as me, like I've been trying to find ways to advance my learning for my whole entire life. I became a teacher so I could help other people advance their learning. I became a school principal so that I could help people, help teachers advance other kids' learning even better. And that's what I did for the majority of my career. Right now, I coach and support school leaders, as well as help people create their own podcasts. And so that's what I do. That's the short version. We could go on for hours if you want, but there's the short version about me.
Yeah, that's fantastic. There's even just something in what you said, I think would be really supportive for us outliers here, which is like to document, you know, document your own learning through a podcast and like without having to be anything else, you know. And, you know, outliers, I'm going to invite you right now. If you've been thinking about a podcast, if you've had a podcast, Jethro just laid out something where it's like, it doesn't need to be about view counts or listeners or any of that stuff there. Just document, you know, and just like hit record and start documenting. So there's something in there that I wanted to make sure I call that right away. Tell me a little bit here, just we're going to go dive more into you, but I'm curious about the ways that you support people. So you support leaders in education, and then you also like support in other ways. So help me just understand, like, are they all the same business? Are they broken up into different business? Okay, yeah.
No, I mean, it's crazy, man. I actually just made a little mind map of all the fingers that I have, all the pots that I have my fingers in, and it's all over the place. And I was talking to someone this morning and she was like, it's okay that you're doing all these different things because you have your own path to take and somebody else's path is not your path. And so sometimes I get discouraged and feel weak and feel like maybe I should just go back and get a job. Maybe I should go back and be a principal. Honestly, I don't know what the right thing to do is with my life. And I've got 4 kids that I love tremendously, and I want to provide a great life for them, and I just want to be a good dad for them. And like how I make money and what I do there, like I'm just trying the best I can to do what I can, you know. That's just the truth. And so I don't have the answer, but I know the things that give me energy and the things that make me excited to be alive and be doing things. And I want to do as much of that stuff as I possibly can and do as little of the stuff that drains me and makes me feel frustrated and insignificant, do as little of that as possible.
So you just hit on something here that like, that I'd love to explore even further. Like, firstly, just talking about like the kids and such, like I have 2 little ones right now and I'm like, I feel you. I'm like as long as I'm doing the dad thing right, everything else we're solid on. You talked right now about like, you know, the things that fuel you, that give you energy. That is a tremendous statement in and of itself, because I think there are a lot of people who want to know what it is. A lot of people who are doing things that other people find them to be energetic, you know, but for them, it's like, it's a drain or it's something that they're good at. And like, they just kind of get by with it here. So I'm really curious about how you went about, or either how you went about, if it's like, you know, a certain journey you went through or some things you can think about, or like what tools you use to kind of like identify like, oh, this is actually something that I really like. This is something that actually energizes me in this space. Now I have to follow up afterwards, but I'm curious about like the knowing process. How did you get to that?
You know, the thing that's so fascinating is like, you can feel it when something's energizing to you, right? And everybody knows what's energizing to them, but they may not have as many opportunities to do that as they want. So for me, as a school principal, I know the things that energized me in that role, and that was solving problems, inspiring people, and coaching and giving feedback. I knew that those things every day, if I got to do that, it was awesome. Now, in my work that I do today, sometimes I go do those things and I coach and I inspire and I teach and all that kind of stuff. But then also, as I'm helping people produce podcasts, I'm helping people see what gifts they have within them that they can share with the world. And that is incredibly gratifying and rewarding. And that's what you mentioned at the beginning. That's what I helped you feel when you interacted with me. And man, I just love doing that. I find that so much fun. And I just want to find a way to do the things that I'm great at as much as possible and not do the things that are tough. What does that look like? Well, honestly, it looks like whatever it looks like for me on any given day. And we're taught that we have to go through this process and we have to like go to school and get a job and work for this company and do whatever, or start our own business or whatever it is. And sometimes it looks really different. And so for me, I have several different companies that I run. Some make good money, some make no money. Some I'm just, pouring money into them and nothing's coming out the other end. And it's easy to get lost in that idea of making money when really it's about living a fulfilling life. And the challenge is that sometimes, like, you still got to make money. And what does that look like? And how do you make that happen? And some days are really stressful and tough, even when I'm doing the things that I love. But I'm okay with the stress and the toughness when I'm doing what I love and when I'm living in a place where I'm living in my gifts. I feel like that's worth it, even when it's stressful and tough.
So this is fantastic. I find myself just incredibly curious here around like the ways that you've incorporated your gifts into the businesses that you have, right? Because I'm getting you, if I'm getting from something from you, you're like, look, I want to do the things that that are in line with me, you know? So would you mind if we explore that a little bit here? Maybe give
Yeah,
us a few
please.
examples. So yeah, share with us some of the ways that you've incorporated your gifts in there. I'll piece it out a little bit more as we go along.
Yeah, so let's take, for example, one of my gifts is to see people as individuals. And so whether I'm doing a podcast consulting thing or helping somebody figure out how to start a podcast, I can see what it is that they have to bring that other people can find interesting. And it's easy for me to see that. I think that that is a gift. And there's no other way to explain that in my mind because I haven't gone to any classes or learned from anyone how to do that. So seeing individuals and what they bring to the table, to me, that's a gift. And so when I have that opportunity to talk with somebody about a podcast, I can ask the right questions and suss out from their answers what they bring to the table and what they can share with the world that is powerful and unique and special for them.
Yeah, there's a lot of resonance overall because I get that gift. And one of the things I love what you just said was like it's easy for you to do, you know, it's easy for you to do. And I kind of want to just shine a light on that because I feel a lot of times we get caught with like the conventional wisdom is like do the things that are harder for you, or if it's easy, it wasn't worthwhile. If it was easy, then like it's really interesting to me because it almost feels like if it's easy, then that's where you get the biggest return on investment. It costs you almost nothing to go and do, but you can also provide a whole lot of value. So I'm curious for you, and it just might just be like, hey, look, this is my philosophy in life, and I've been living it for as long as I can remember. But was there a time where you didn't actually like allow yourself to pursue like the easy path for you? And what were some of the consequences or benefits of doing that? And then we'll talk about when you decided to shift.
Yeah, let me just clarify one little bit about that because nothing that I do is easy,
Yeah.
but it is a path of ease, which means that I can be in a flow state. And the only way that I can think to describe that is that I can feel it where time goes by quickly and I'm immersed in what I'm doing, even when it is difficult and hard. That's where I find the value. Now, saying that, I forgot what it was that you wanted me to talk about.
I like that. No, but I think it's an important distinction, and I might forget it too. Everyone else is going to be listening, like you just said this. But let's just make sure we don't miss out on this clip because you, what you're calling out here is a distinction, a distinction. And I love distinctions like that. That to me is one of my gifts. We're able to see how do you take the unconscious thing you do and make it conscious again. And that is all about distinctions. So the distinction I'm hearing from you is there's a distinction between easy and ease, you know? And like what you've found is ways to bring more ease into the things you do, even when they're hard, even when they're difficult, even when they're stressful, you know, like even when they're complicated, all the other things that we would necessarily not think of as easeful, you find an easeful way to do it. Am I getting, does that feel about right?
Yeah, totally. I like how you use the word easeful because that's really what it feels like. Not easy because that implies that there's not hard work or effort going into it, but there is still hard work going into it, but it feels light and it feels enjoyable and it feels like something that I can go back to again and again and keep doing without feeling like I'm killing myself doing it. So one area where I wasn't living that way, and I think this was the question you were asking, was one of the things that I'm not very good at is small detail-oriented things. So one of the ways that I have worked on that is I put systems in place so that I don't have to do a lot of effort in making things happen. And you're a good example of that too. The process of connecting with you and getting on your podcast and answering your survey questions and things like that made it really easy for me to submit information, give you information, and make it simple. So I created these workflows using Zapier and Cal.com and things like that so that when somebody comes on my shows, everything is set up automatically. And if that ever doesn't work, then it's this huge lift that is like so painful for me to do. And they're such simple things, Niyama. That's the crazy thing is that they're so simple. But if the system doesn't work, then I'm almost like, oh, forget it. I'm not even going to make this happen. It's not even worth it. And like, it's crazy because it shouldn't be like that. But for me, those things are hard. And when I see myself getting into those situations where I'm like, oh, this is hard. I don't want to do it. I know that I'm not operating in my strengths. I need to get out of that.
All right. Well, I love one the awareness part of it, like of like just being able to be honest and true with yourself and be like, hey, look, this is getting hard. It's not that it's hard, but I think I'm getting is like I'm not operating my strengths means that like there isn't I'm not taking the easeful path, and like I might be able to take on the hard thing again, but let me go find the easeful path, right? So does that feel aligned? Let me make sure I'm good. Okay,
Yeah,
so that's
totally.
one. And then the other thing, I was laughing, I was just losing it over here while you were saying it, because I was like, I get you in the sense of the way I would describe it is that it's I would rather spend like 100 hours working on something so that I only have to spend a no, so I never have to spend any time on it again. Like, give me 100 hours up front and just like build the system so I can push the button, or in the case of our podcast conversations, it can be recorded, put into an automatic cloud sharing place, and just have the system do everything else to get everything else going, you know? And then when it doesn't work, it's like, oh, okay. It
Yeah.
actually, but it's interesting because, like as you say, like I get it. Like it's a high point of leverage, right? It's a very, very high point of leverage, and it allows like it's cool because it's I haven't really been able to geek out on this in a while, so I'm gonna do it right now.
That's cool.
Like I now tell people that I love I really respect the return on investment. Right. I feel like that is a PC way of saying it, but like I used to be saying that because I thought it was more cheeky and I needed to go with it. But something I'm like, I'm just really, really, really lazy. I'm also very
Right.
ambitious, you
Yeah.
know, like so it's like laziness plus ambition like makes for some really cool things, you know. And it's when I hear you talk, I personally put it's a personal smile on my face because I'm like a lot of times when I reach in when I get into things that feel hard or feel like really complicated, I ask myself like, well, what's the easiest way to get this done, you know? Or like, not even the easiest, what's the laziest way? If I was truly lazy, clearly I haven't
Yeah.
been lazy enough yet because there's still work I have to do. So like, and I can imagine people run organizations with multiple employees and multiple countries and so on and so forth, but they're not doing every single part of the work, right? They have found systems, processes, so on and so forth to help leverage things. So I talk leverage, I talk return on investment. people are like, oh yes, sign me up. When I talk lazy, they're like, I'm not lazy. I'm like, I think you should be lazier. Honestly, I think you're doing way too much for how good you are.
Yeah, I really appreciate that distinction. I think that's a powerful way to look at it, because the thing that we all want and we all desire is time freedom. Like, I actually don't need that much money. What I really need is time and what I want to be able to do. Let me tell you something that I'm really struggling with right now. So I mentioned I made this mind map of all the things that I've got going on, and there's a lot. And I'm also working on my doctorate right now, so there's that. Plus, I got these four kids that I love and want to be there for them. And what I really want to be doing more of is writing. And I'm finding a really hard time finding the time to do writing. It's challenging. And where do I go? Where do I find the time to make this happen? And then, how do I make it so that I can write about anything that I want on my blog and be okay with it showing up there, that I don't have to worry about having a specific audience, you know? And do I talk to you about spirituality, or do I talk to you about podcast creation, or do I talk to you about school leadership coaching? Like, I don't want to have to worry about any of that stuff. And that right now is where my personal frustration is, where all these things, I'm too compartmentalized and segmented in my life right now. And that's the piece that I'm struggling with right now. I want to have one place where I put everything, one channel that everything goes out on, and be okay with people saying, I'm not interested in the school leadership stuff, but I am interested in the spirituality stuff, and I'll put up with that other thing I'm not interested in because I want this. Not, here's this one place for this thing, one place for this thing, one place for this thing. That's what I'm struggling with right now.
You get to, if we stayed on this thread for a little while. A couple things come to mind here that, like, let me start off first with just the few things that come to mind, and then if you're cool with it, I'd like to ask you some more questions just to help unpack some things for you. You good with that? All right, cool. So the first thing that comes here, I'm just like, for you, Jethro, do you have like have you spent time like developing a personal brand?
I've gone through phases with that, and honestly, like, that just kind of that doesn't seem very interesting to me. That's one of those things that feels like a lot of work, whereas just writing feels like ease. Does that
Got
make
you.
sense?
To an extent, but let's continue. Like I want to try and I want to try and get there. What is it that you love about writing?
I love the idea of using words to bring out awareness and ideas in other people. I think that that's really powerful. And I like speaking, and I feel like I do better with speaking, but writing is something that I've always had over here that I want to make part of my life, and I want to be consistent with it. And like, I've written in my journal for a long time, and I write something pretty much every single day. I just don't publish it all the time.
So then now there's two other parts here. So you write something every day. So you are writing. It's more about publishing, if I'm hearing you right, or like you have the time to write, but you're not publishing. Like, let me just try and understand this here, because that was unexpected.
So let me put it this way. I have the time to take notes and jot notes down, but not to put those into a coherent thought that somebody else could get something out of, right? Like, I could just like tweet a bunch of stuff all day long. That's not really what I'm talking about. I want to like get in and talk about something that I care about and that I think about that I haven't shared yet. That's what I want to be able to do, is publish my writing in a more effective way. For example, I was reading an article for my doctoral program last night, and I went to the page by one of the authors of this journal article, and she's got publications from 2006 until today, and she's putting out tons of academic research and a lot of stuff. Her life's different than mine, and I'm not comparing, don't get me wrong, but I'm like, I don't have everything all in one place where somebody could say, here's everything that Jethro has written. That's the thing where I want to have something like that, because I do have a lot of stuff that I've written and I want to be able to publish it and get it out there. And what I have is not in a publishable format yet, because it's too random. It's too scattered, not clear and coherent enough. Partly is an excuse, I'm realizing.
Yeah, I'm glad you're catching that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're catching that. I'm gonna ask you some questions related to writing, but like not, but it's not gonna be there. You have been a podcaster for how long? Have you been
Over 10 years.
over 10 years? And about how many episodes do you say that you like have, like something that you yourself did?
Over 1,000.
Over 1,000. So you have over 1,000. Are they all on the same exact topic? Okay, so that's helping me out one element of it here. Like, I'm imagining. Well, let me just ask you this question before we get into the writing. Like, if you needed to like have a page where everyone could see all 1,000 episodes that you've ever done here, like, how would you handle that if it was for podcasting?
Well, it exists on like 3 or 4 pages, so it would just be consolidating all that and putting it in one place, which I want to do also. Like, I want all my podcasts to be in the same place. I want people to be able to go there and say, look, this is all the content Jethro's created over the last 15 years. Here are podcasts, here are blog posts, here are articles, here are the books he's written. Like, I want all that there.
Yeah, like so I'm like there's a couple different things. One, I'll probably go and say, like, how do you solve this problem with the podcast? Because you already have examples of this. You're already doing this with your voice, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Right? Like not net. So it's like there's a place where you're actually several steps along the path, right? And now we have to make all we have to do is make the last step of how do we get everything all together into one consolidated place. And then if we can do that, and then this is my laziness here. It's like you already figured it out once, just copy, paste, control, like, find and replace podcasts with writing, like that's how I would get it done, right? But I would stay with what you know, figure it out for that last part, and then come back, the so that's one. Two, I asked you about the personal brand thing, because like honestly, it feels like if you just had jethrojones.com, which you might, but
I
like,
do. I have it.
okay, like I don't know what's on that right now, but like it just feels like that would be the place where it's like, hey, look, you might see me in every one of my companies, and when I'm in my companies, this is what each of the companies do. In fact, you can actually find a page right here. Here's the companies that I'm a part of. You can go see and follow that. But like this is what I, Jethro, think about. I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about that. I'm not trying to make money from it. Maybe like it's just like this is just me. And that's why I guess we're in this space where like you get what a personal brand can mean in terms of like what it means from like a entrepreneur or solopreneur perspective. But it really just feels like what's can we just make a website that is just Jethro and like doesn't have to be it's just you. And it is and that captures everything that you do in on that one space, so that when you're in that when you're in each individual place, you can choose to be fragmented or you can choose to be complete. I want to get back to the like the integratedness of it all. But I think that's the other part why I think about a personal brand, because I think like the personal brand is like the place of all the intersections, right? It feels like a lot of work to be spirituality in one place and like deep business in another place and education. I'm like, what's that place where the spirituality, the education, all the different parts of you just kind of like line up and are overlapped, so that anyone who comes in knows that on any given day you might get any one of these things or some other new overlap. And the answer that came to me is you. So it's like that's why I'm asking the personal brand. That's why I'm like can we just have a space that's just you and allow people to come to that and then say, hey, what part of me would you want to explore? But I'm putting all of me in this place.
Yeah, so it's funny you say that because I actually did do that just I think a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. So Jethro Jones, but the ES in Jones is dot ES, so Jethro John dot ES. And so I was like, what can I, how can I clarify like what it is that I do? So I put in here the coaching, the creating, and then the clarifying as the three C's that I do. And so like this doesn't have everything on here yet, but this is like a good start to what you're talking about. And this is part of like why I've been struggling with this is that I've got I'm so all over the place
But you're
to
not though. Like at the same time, you're
exactly.
gonna
That's what I was just gonna say, but I'm
yeah. But
not.
you're not like
Yes.
I'm like you might try and convince me that you're all over the place. And yes, your fingers are in a lot of the parts, but you're not like you're even able to break like almost everything you do down to three words. You're either coaching, creating, or clarifying. Like, how's that all over the place? Like, you have a lot of tools, you have a lot of experience, your things that you do are so you understand it so deeply that you can keep applying it in different ways. But that's not all over the place, you know? Yeah.
So like I think the and I know and this is what's so fascinating is I know that the feeling that I'm all over the place is coming from some external thing telling me that I'm not doing it quote unquote right. And I know
Oh,
that that's a lie.
you are. No, that's okay. Like,
Right.
does
Yeah.
that help? Like, okay, great. You're not doing it right. Awesome. Like, let's
Yeah.
just confirm that. But you are doing it your way, which feels right to you.
That's right. And that comes back to the ease thing. Like I'm starting to feel this because I'm like, what does this all mean? Like where, what's going on here? And because I've been going in an easeful way, I've been saying yes to the things that feel right and ignoring the things that don't feel right. And so, for example, a company asked me to write some curriculum for them around technology and privacy and things like that. And like that should be a really easy thing for me to do. What I learned doing that is I totally hated it and it was awful. They could not pay me enough to get me to finish that project. And I did finish it, but it was like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Like I just want to be done with it. And so I realized that that was not the thing that I should be spending my time doing. So writing curriculum for someone or even myself is not something that gives me energy. But spending hours helping somebody come up with what they need to do for their podcast, oh my goodness, sign me up all day long, every day of the week. And I'll do that again and again and again because I just love it so much.
This like so there's a couple of things that I'm hearing as well here, and I'm like to me it's like let's keep finding the easeful path for you, right? When you bring up that example of the curriculum, what was going on through my mind was and again this goes back to the giving and receiving part that we were talking about earlier. It's like okay, if like does every channel that you have where you're creating ease, have you created an easeful way for you to receive either financially or whatever else you want? So like through that process there, like is it just that it's missing a bridge into whatever else might be quote unquote missing in that place? I don't know if that's how you experience life or not. But there was something in there where I was like, okay, what's the bridge that's missing in that? Let me see do you have a response to that? That question may not be as clear as it is to me. So,
No, it's
okay.
not. I don't understand it, but I'm getting an itch that I'm starting to understand. So keep clarify it for me a little bit better.
Yeah, we might have to go around and come back to it in a different way. So I'll do it in this way, right? Because like essentially, what I feel like I'm hearing you say is like I've created a lot of ease in my life already. And I would like it to be even more easeful. And there's parts of like how can I do it? And what does that actually look like? And then I think you also mentioned the external pressures that were coming in here, which so that's another part. The external pressures turn into like internal like dilemmas. It's like, can I really make it this easeful? Can I continue? And you let me know if actually, that would be really helpful. What are some of the inner conversations that you have that, like, let's say this curriculum thing came up, right? Did you know before you started that you probably wouldn't want to do it?
I was pretty sure I wouldn't like it.
Yeah. So what were some of like the inner like thoughts that then still had you say yes? Because you seem pretty adamant, like pretty sure that you're like, I'm gonna do the easeful thing. Like I'm not even gonna allow that into my world. So I'm kind of curious how this one made it through your filter.
Well, this one did because it was a relationship with someone that I wanted to serve and give to them. And this was the thing they said that they needed help with. And it seemed like something that I could help with. And I did. I just realized that it wasn't worth it for either one of us. Because I don't think my quality for them was high enough. And I don't think that that it was worth them paying me to do it. It wasn't worth it for me in that regard. So, when you're out on your own doing your own thing, like you got to take opportunities to make money where you can take them. And so this was something where I was like, okay, this makes sense, but I don't ever want to do that again. And I know now if somebody says, hey, can you write curriculum for us? I'm going to say, no, unless you're paying me enough to pay someone else to write the curriculum for me, that's writing it for you. Like that's where
One.
the ease would come, right?
Okay, well, maybe now we're starting to play. This is the game I want to play now, which is like it doesn't. We made a distinction between easy and useful, right? And so what it feels to me is that like regardless of the project itself, whatever path you took was not the easeful path, right? And we've already said in this conversation earlier that we can create easeful ways of getting things done.
That's right.
And so like so what like what it feels like here is like you've already come up with like a way of saying like I can do it. I just need to put a multiple on whatever I ask you for the pricing because I'm going to hire someone else to actually do it. I can make sure it gets done, you
Yeah.
know?
And here's the key. I can come up with the good overarching ideas and the structure of it, but the tedious aspect of putting each one of those pieces together, that's where I'm going to fall down and I know it. And so for me to waste my time doing that is not going to serve anybody, the person or me.
Yeah, you're like I get you're a leader, right? You lead and you organize things to success. And you like whether you're creating systems for processes or like you're able to delegate it to other people or you're leading a school you decided like I'm going to be a principal and like lead and organize this whole entire school rather than like just in the classroom, which is like just different pathways, right? One, I feel like again, going back to this element of like places where you have like decades of skills, it's like how can you continue to put yourself in places of leading to success rather than doing to success or executing to success? I think you're probably going to find some more easefulness involved there. It may require you to ask for more money up front from it, but it also probably will also give you a chance to be able to more fully deliver on what it is that you're looking to get done.
Boy, that's so true. And so I think back to another time where I was leading some trainings for a school district and I was happy to pay someone to help me create the content for that. And by doing that, everything turned out better. I was delivering, but I had someone help me create the content, and the content came off so much better when it wasn't just me doing it. So, yeah. And I think about these podcasts that I produce with people where I'm good. Is when I'm brainstorming, talking through things with the host about what they will create, and then I hand it off to the team to do the rest of it. Because that's what I'm good at. And like I can do the editing. I can, but it's not a good use of my time.
I'm gonna have to just make one distinction here. It's like it's not what you're good at, it's what you're exceptional at, right?
That's
You're
right.
good at the editing, you're good
Yes.
at the other
Yep.
things that are not a good use. Like, and that's the thing, like your return on investment is just it's so far, like it's just such a smaller multiple there. Your return on investment goes way down when you're in those kind of like what you call the tedious execution. For someone else, that's their return on investment is super high. So it feels like this here feels like it's like, how can you keep you playing and we'll call it your easeful path? Like, you know, but like the most easeful way for you is actually the most amount of leverage. It is the arbitrage for anyone who is paying you money. You know, it's like, you want me to put in my highest value here in this space. In fact, you might like what you get out of value from just the vision in, the listening in, the pulling out whatever comes in, that's probably going to be worth it in and of itself. And by the way, we're also going to make sure that we deliver on all these other things for you. I think that there's an arbitrage that you're missed, that you're that you have more room to be taken, to be included, you know. And the arbitrage is like, you're really, really good at this, and you are so good at it that you bring on a team of people to help you implement it underneath it. And that last part, I use that language a little bit deliberately. Like, you're so good at it, from the standpoint of like, I call it owning your outlier, right? Like owning that like, and valuing your impact. Where it's like, this is where you want me at. I have it. Like, my team will take care of all these other things, but like, executive to executive, leader to leader, let's do the leadership thing. Let's make sure we're meeting and creating whatever it is that's there, and then as you like. We will deliver based on these other components, you know? And then you, from that standpoint, I feel like you're able to create and confer additional value, which can also help like support any kind of rates you would need to be able to actually deliver on this. And hopefully even give you even more arbitrage, because now instead of you having to spend all your time doing something that you're like, this really is not useful and I don't want to keep doing it. You're done with the parts of you once you said you're done, and you got to keep going on to go and create more from there. Your thoughts on that?
So let me give you a real life example.
Please.
So I helped produce this podcast called The World Needs Men by Franklin Swan, and it is really good. You should definitely have him on your show, by the way. So good.
Please
And
make the intro.
yes, will do. And what I really love about what Franklin, the host, has is when I first talked to him about it, he was like, I've kind of been feeling the need to do this, but I haven't pulled the trigger yet because I just don't know where to start. And I was like, well, I'm your guy because you do what I tell you to do, and we set this up. I'm going to help you figure out how to record the episodes, how to do everything, and then I'm going to help you get it in to be a top 10% podcast. And within a month, because he was willing to do the things that I said you need to do, the work he needed to put in that only he could do, and I was doing the work that only I could do, and I was giving to my team the work that they could do. This was a beautiful synergy of all those things working together. And within a month, he did get into the top 10% podcast, and it was, and it's incredible. And it just is like, that was such a good example of everybody being in the easeful path, because he was good at creating the content, but he didn't know all the technical pieces behind it. I knew all the technical pieces behind it and how to get it out there so that people could hear it and would support it and leave ratings and all that stuff. And I knew how to do that. And then I did edit the first couple episodes, but then I turned it over to my team and they took care of the rest of it once we had like the system ironed out. And what's amazing is I felt in my heart, oh, this was so good. I felt in my heart when I was done editing and knew that I would hate it from that moment on. And as soon as I felt that, I gave it to an editor and said, you're editing this from now on. Here's how it works. And I explained all the intro, beginning, outro, all that stuff. And he's doing a way better job than I could do at this point, not to mention it's not holding me down anymore. But man, I knew in that moment exactly this was good. Thank you, Niyama.
Yeah, definitely pay attention to that, definitely. You have the examples, you've done this here. Like, I really love this idea of like just the easeful path. And even as you're talking, I think about myself as someone receiving it, right? Being on the other side of this. And like be and you coming in and basically saying, I'm gonna reduce the effort that you need to put in going forward. You know, like everyone is we have built the right team to keep this easeful for you. So what do you love about
Mm-hmm.
this? What would you like? What would so on and so forth, and just keep building easeful ways. Do you have space for one other thing? This is a little bit more tactical, but it's something you mentioned earlier, and I just felt like it'd be good to just make sure I be saying it before we wrap up for today.
Yeah.
Okay. You talked about writing earlier, and my question here was when you write, are you physically typing, or are you leveraging again, your voice? Are you dictating it and then coming back and later on editing, or having someone else edit it for you?
Yeah, so what I have been doing is lately I've been using my voice and or I've been experimenting with using my voice, which I believe is the right path for me to take, and that I need to do more of that and either have someone edit for me or use AI to help edit it down, which I've also been doing, but I'm just never satisfied with what the AI does.
I
And
got
so
you on that. I get
that's the
I
challenge right now. So,
I've been displeased when I've done it
yeah.
about yeah, I wrote a whole book. Actually, this is the difference. So I learned I had someone on my team. So we have the book, The World of Difference book, and I dictated the whole thing. And I really, one of the big parts of it was that I realized I was an author but not a writer. And I was like, these are my words. I want it to be my words, but if I try to sit down and type this out, it just wouldn't work. I have my eyes do things like it headaches. It's not the right path. So I wanted to put that into the space and build a nice little system. Got some people to I would create I would get like the transcript of everything that I said for the day. I would put the transcript. I have a super simple spreadsheet that was just like, here goes the spreadsheet, here goes the transcript, here goes the name of it, here goes the number of minutes that like this trans this episode, this part is. Can you please transcribe it into something that actually works, and just had hundreds of minutes doing that, and then paid for that transcription through an outside service to come in, and then I brought in another person to then go edit those thoughts into can you make this cohesive? These are all my thoughts. Please represent it properly, but go from there. So I say this just from the standpoint of A, you have over 1,000 podcast episodes. Clearly, you're good at talking. Clearly, you're good at articulating your thoughts. You'd like to be in this place, trying to see how are ways that you can leverage it? Are there ways that you're talking to someone and you're like, you know what, I'm going to also make a note to capture this, have that transcribed, and that's going to be my article for today because everything all lined up. So just trying to think about different ways that you can just create additional leverage using what you already do, and just kind of essentially get more. Squeeze more juice from the system that you're already using.
That's something that I've been toying with in my mind that I haven't quite figured out how to do. But what's funny is that because I do podcasts, a lot of the things that I say are recorded already. And so my two books that I wrote are I took a very similar approach and instead of having somebody else write them, I just took the transcripts from what I was doing, which, by the way, after I transcribed everything, was over 1 million words for my second book, and I
That.
condensed it down to 25,000 or 55,000.
Nicely
So,
done.
so anyway, yeah, this is definitely fascinating, giving me something to think about. So, thank you. I appreciate it.
No, thank you. At the end of the day, that's it. I see that you already created a lot in the world, and I appreciate you trusting me in here and bringing this in for us to play with. What's been your biggest insight? And if you have more than one, feel free to say it, but what's been your biggest insight from anything in the conversation?
So number one is finding the easeful path. And then number two, it's not what you're good at, it's what you're exceptional at. And that's where I need to spend my time playing is where what I'm exceptional at. And I just need to trust that when I'm there, then I can make magic happen because I really can. And I've seen it time and again. And I need to not forget that.
You demonstrated all throughout here, there's a track record of this story after story after story of when this happened. So I'm glad you see that. Well, let's do this here. I'm appreciative of you. Is there anything that you want to, I want to give to, they'll do this way. Is there anything that you want to leave with any outliers in order for them to hear? Just like a takeaway. I call it an outsight. We said your insight and outsight for anyone that might be listening here, any outsight for them. And then what we'll do is we'll find out, we'll share how they can like continue to stay in your world. But let's start with your outside first.
Yeah, I think the outside is it, you've just listened to me like be vulnerable and share what's going on with me, but apply that to your life and don't think that my story is not applicable to you. Think about what from my story resonates and makes sense with you, and then go do your own thing and go forward with confidence. That would be my outside. Like my story was very, very specific to what I'm dealing with, but don't get lost in the specifics of my story. Get lost in the specifics of yours and how what I said applies to what you're going through.
Thank you for that. Jethro, for anyone that wants to go down any or all of the journeys, they want to stay in your world with you. What's the best way for them to do that?
Well, you know, I think this thing that I mentioned before, Jethro Jones, that's Jethro, J-O-N dot E-S. Hopefully that's linked somewhere in the show notes because that'll make it a lot easier for people to get to. But that, you know, I think is where you can start following me and we can get connected on there. And don't know, let's see what happens, man. That's the
I
beauty.
would definitely take that. I'll definitely take that. All right. Finally, the last question I have for you, Jethro, is this: if you had to leave a message for your future self, knowing everything you know right now, but let's say 20 years from now, you forgot it, you just need to be reminded of something important based on what you know right now. What's the message that you would leave for your future self?
The message that I would leave for my future self is don't worry about it. It's going to work out. So, doesn't matter you forgot it. Just keep going forward.
There we have it. Thank you, Jeff. It's been an amazing conversation. I appreciate you.
Amen.